Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of trouble. In the letter to the Hebrews, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The reading we have today from Hebrews is an interesting point of transition. Most of the argument in the letter, previous to this passage, emphasized the perseverance of those who wish to receive the promise of entrance into God's rest, that is, eternal salvation. And so, at this point, to make it clear that this perseverance isn't something we can just fake well enough, the author ends this section with the acknowledgement of the fact that God sees and knows all, even the very intentions of our hearts, judging according to his living and active word, sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, think about our natural tendencies when we have done something intentionally wrong. We've taken something that wasn't ours because we wanted it. We've been deceptive or dishonest to get ahead, whatever it is. What do we do? Well, we hide what we've done and hope to get away with it, right? If our conscience bothers us, we can't apologize lest we give ourselves away. So we have two options. We can continue to hide what we've done and deal with the guilt, or we can come clean and face the repercussions. What the author of Hebrews is saying here is that when it comes to our transgressions against God, which all sins are, option one really is no option at all. Nothing can be hidden from God. We're not going to get away with anything, so we might as well say that we're sorry. Living our lives trying to hide from God is no way to hold fast to our confession as we are called to do. But this is where we see the beauty of the incarnation. Even though God is perfect in his holiness and sees everything that we do, we can be sure that he will forgive us because he has appointed his Son as our great high priest who has made the ultimate sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. And he does so with an understanding of our weakness because he himself experienced every temptation that we do. He can truly sympathize with us, and because of that, he is a ready and willing advocate. Because that's what we do. When we see people going through the same trials that we ourselves have gone through, we aren't just more equipped to help, we are also more eager. We know what it was like, and out of compassion hope to keep someone else from the suffering that we have endured, or at least to be there for them. From those who have beaten cancer to recovering alcoholics to survivors of abuse, we see people passionate about helping others out of those situations that they suffered themselves. So with this in mind, we are able to approach the throne of grace with boldness. Seems like a strange concept, boldly confessing our sins. But we aren't talking about a boldness that comes from pride or from confidence in our own abilities. It is a boldness that comes with the knowledge that we will be forgiven. When we are sure of the unconditional love of a Savior who can fully sympathize with our weakness and the grace and mercy that flow from him, we can have no fear in saying that we're sorry, especially considering that we aren't revealing to God anything that he doesn't already know. Think about how big of a change this is from the old covenant. Only the high priest, and only once a year, was allowed to approach God's throne in the Holy of Holies. And even then, if you believe the legend, they tied a rope around his waist so that if he dropped dead, they could, you know, drag him out. Though that part is pretty dubious. But still, this approaching into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God, was not something that was done lightly. It was done with a considerable amount of fear and careful preparation. But we are not just allowed, but encouraged to stand before the throne, confident that we will not be struck dead by being in the mere presence of God's glory. And remember that I mentioned this passage marks a point of transition. And that transition is from the perseverance in faithfulness of the believers to the work of our great high priest. Through the recognition of our inability to hide anything from God, we can see these two things as connected. They are complementary realities, relying on one another and leading us to victory. Jesus, through his role as great high priest, has granted us access to the Father. We, through faith, confidently approach, receiving not only mercy to forgive, but also grace. Through that grace, we are given the strength to persevere, but also the wisdom to continually return to that throne as we succumb to our various weaknesses. And the church shows forth this reality in her sacramental life by offering the various ways by which we enter the presence of God. In baptism, we accept the gift given and begin the journey of faith and perseverance. In the Eucharist, we recall and re-present that once-for-all sacrifice as we have been commanded, finding in it strength to remain obedient. In confession, we are given the chance to acknowledge that which is already laid bare before God and repent from the wrong that we have done. God has given us everything we need to live obediently and triumphantly through Jesus Christ, our great high priest. So let us embrace him as we hold fast to our confession that leads to eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.